So, unfortunately, if you were expecting Wally, he's not here. He's under the weather today, and so we are going to skip over the second part of Psalms that we were promised by Dwayne last week, and hopefully he will be back next week, and we'll be able to fill us in on the second part of Psalms. But today we are going to look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of five wisdom books in the Bible. Test time. Who can name the other four?
Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes is one of them.
Song of Solomon
is another one. That's two.
What was the first question?
Psalms is one of the wisdom ones?
Psalms is one of the wisdom ones. There's five wisdom books in the Bible. So you've named three of them now, plus Proverbs. So which one do you not name yet?
I'm guessing Esther.
Nope.
Okay.
Job.
Yeah.
So Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastics, and Song of Solomon. So obviously Steve thinks I need to have wisdom because I'm doing Proverbs, and in a couple of weeks I'm going to do Song of Solomon. So gives you a little hint. Most scholars believe the book of Proverbs was mostly written by King Solomon during his reign from 970 to 930 BC, which is one of the reasons oftentimes the book of Proverbs is called Proverbs of Solomon. Chapters 1 to 29 are contributed to Solomon in Solomon's words. Chapter 30 tells us it was written by Agur, and chapter 31 says it was written by King Lemuel. It is interesting that we know nothing in the Bible about Agur or Lemuel. The name Agur means collector, son of obedience, and King Lemuel is not listed in either the kings of Judah or Israel. And Lemuel means belonging to God. Several commentators and Jewish legend believe Agur and Lemuel are symbolic, or another name for Solomon. There are also those who believe that some of the Proverbs are a collection of thoughts and writings by others that Solomon put together. They're not his own writing. It doesn't really matter, because those of us who believe the Bible, we know it's God-inspired word. So wherever the words came from, God brought them together. The book of Proverbs can be broken down into outline of five overall principles. The first, choose wisdom, chapters 1 through 9. The second, wisdom versus folly, chapters 10 to 18. The third, life principles, chapters 19 through 24. The fourth, wickedness, righteousness, chapters 25 through 29. And the fifth, miscellaneous advice, chapters 30 and 31. It's important that when we read Proverbs, we must remember that these sayings were guidelines. They were intended to help us to make wise, just, and righteous decisions. Think of Proverbs as statements that paint a small picture of what life should be like or is like. They are not given as absolute truth. Example of this is Proverbs 11:8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Pastor Steve talked about this last Sunday. We just have to look around and we can see that sometimes good people have trouble and the wicked seem to prosper. Maybe we even experience this in our lives. Bible commentator John Phillips says, "A proverb is not a magical formula, bringing wisdom and blessing by a hex or a spell." Proverbs itself says in Proverbs 26:7, "Like the legs of the lamb, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools." So when we read through Proverbs, think of them as wise thoughts, sayings that Solomon used and wanted to pass on. We should also note that King Solomon was famous for wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, we read that Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God was pleased with his request and answered his prayer. In 1 Kings 4, 32 to 34, there's this description of Solomon's God-given wisdom. And I want us to really think about this. This is not wisdom that he just became because he was a smart guy. It was God-given wisdom because he requested it and God answered his prayer. So let's first turn to Kings 4, 32 to 34. I just want to look at that real fast.
Kings, what, first or second?
1 Kings 4, 32 to 34. We're just going to look at how smart Solomon was or the wisdom that he had. First Kings 4, 32 to 34. Starting in verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Quick side note, how many proverbs are there in the book of Proverbs?
31.
That's how many chapters.
Oh, chapters,
not how many proverbs. There's 800 in the book of Proverbs.
Oh,
yeah, so just kind of interesting that Solomon spoke 3,000, but the book of Proverbs has 800. Verse 33, also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So I just wanted to point out, you know, that Solomon was a smart guy. You know, and we should really take advantage of what he wrote down. If all the kings of the world were willing to go and sit down and listen to Solomon, how much more should we be opening the book of Proverbs? You know, it's very free. We as Americans are so blessed. Most of us probably have multiple Bibles in our house that we can open up on a daily basis and look at. But yet, how many times do we do it? So I'd encourage you to do that. But
I found that a good practice because there's 31 proverbs. Just one chapter a day.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good system, you know.
Yeah, I'll mention that later on that a lot of Christians. That's okay. A lot of Christians do
sorry,
that.
So
yes, you ruined my whole story.
It's over.
Let's go ahead and look at this great book.
Well, that was good.
Solomon tells us right in the first chapter why the book of Proverbs, why he wrote it, the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 to 6. Proverbs 1, 1 to 6. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words and insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So here we see that Proverbs are to be used to gain wisdom, understanding, instruction, and what is right and wrong. We see right from the beginning why he's writing it down, why we should be looking at the book, you know, is for all of us to look at it. And, you know, you stop there at verse 4, it says, for those who are simple. You know, so maybe some of us older people are now sitting there going, well, he's not talking to us. We're wise. We're old, you know. But go right back into verse 5. He said, let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Guys, we can all use a little guidance and understanding. This is a crazy world that we are living in right now, you know? This is one of the reasons, as Gene just said, that a lot of Christians read a Proverbs a day. And it's a good habit for all of us, and I would encourage all of us to think about committing to this, you know? Just read a short proverb as part of your Bible study each morning. So it tells us we're supposed to gain wisdom. Proverbs opens up, says, gain wisdom. So where are we supposed to gain wisdom from? Again, just following in the verse. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Enduring Word commentary says, "This fear of the Lord is not a cowering, begging fear. It is a proper reverence that the creature owes to the Creator and that the redeemed owes the Redeemer." The truth that wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord is also found in three of the other wisdom books of the Bible. Job 28:28 says, "And to man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding." You know? Fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." And the words that jumped out of me there is, "A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." So part of wisdom is not only knowing it, but doing it. You know, so often myself, and a lot of times when I'm teaching, I'm looking at myself more than I'm looking at you guys. I may know it, but am I doing it? Am I practicing what I'm supposed to know up here? And finally, Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, and this is man's all." There is nothing else that we are supposed to do, guys. Fear God and keep his commandments. I don't know about you, but when God's word says the same thing over and over again, I believe he's trying to get our attention. So my teaching style is to try to show how the study of God's word can be useful for us in our everyday personal lives. Therefore, in overviewing this book of Proverbs, and that's all we're doing today, is we're overviewing the book of Proverbs, getting a little taste, a little tease. I want to look at the book of Proverbs says about wisdom and facing challenges that we men face in our everyday lives. First, we looked at Proverbs' opening call for us to learn wisdom, and that the Lord and his word are the foundation for wisdom. So the first challenge that we face on a regular basis is looking for that wisdom. And are we looking at it in the right place? You know, so many people think, oh, I need an Ivy League education. Well, most of those Ivy League educations these days are pretty darn bad. You know, are we focusing our education in what God has provided for us? You know, and I want to make sure that we don't miss the next part of chapter 1. Not only are we supposed to gain wisdom, we are, as men, are supposed to share it. Verse 8 and 9 of chapter 1 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck." Too many fathers, especially Christian fathers, have forgotten one of the most important tasks that we have: teaching our children the word of the Lord. Guys, how many times do our children and our grandchildren see us opening God's word? Are they seeing it? Do they know that we open it up and we look at it and we study it and that we're trying to get wisdom from it? When we speak to them, do we speak the words of the Bible? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Are we starting when they're very young? Are we reading the Bible to them? They will eventually go out in the world and have to make their own decisions. They can't make those decisions if they don't have a wise foundation. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." 1 Peter 5:2-3 says, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So guys, my question to you is, are we training up the flock that God provided us? Are we being sure that we're being godly examples of those around us, especially our children and our grandchildren? Are we teaching them the wisdom that we find in God's Word? And that's going to be my second point, is how do we teach wisdom? How do we teach what we don't know? Chapter 2. I mean, Proverbs has so much great information. I could be up here for hours and days, but unfortunately, Steve told me I'm not allowed to do that. Chapter 2 tells us to search for wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God's intention is that you and I make his wisdom our own. We are to learn and to know God's word. Yes, God has provided great teachers like Pastor Steve to help us to grow, but he also called us to treasure his word in our hearts and our minds. And we cannot do that if we don't open his word except on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings. And verse 4 really jumped out at me. So my question to you, and more to me, as I said earlier, is, are we searching his word? Are we looking for the hidden treasures that he has in it? Too often I do my daily reading out of habit instead of with a searching heart. And Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So guys, again, we're making it personal. Are we trusting God with all our hearts? Are we leaning on his word for understanding in the troubled times that we lived in? Are you trusting God to direct your paths? We cannot teach what we do not know. Are you searching his word daily? It's an important part for us to really think about, guys. Not just something that, oh yeah, I'm opening my Bible. Now, you know, I'm reading my chapter. But are we really searching it? Are we looking at, you know, all the information that we have available for us? You know, you can go into the computer now and look at commentary and just get so much information and break down the Word of God and really put it into our hearts so that when we make decisions, we are looking at it, you know? And I guess, you know, one of the things is, are we praying to God for wisdom? Are we like Solomon? Are we asking him, you know, God, give us your direction. Tell us where you want us to go, what paths you want to be in. Rose and I are really struggling with that right now. And we would appreciate you guys lifting us up in prayer because we don't know where we're going right now. We're open to, God, where do you want us to be? You know, we assume he wants us to be in Texas with the grandkids, but is that what we want? You know, is that really what he wants? And so, you know, something for us to look at and to pray about and to think about, and all of us to look at, where does God want us to be? What's the direction and the path he wants from? The third area, and guys, I'm just jumping here through Proverbs, so we're sort of like bouncing through. We're not, you know, going book to or chapter by chapter, but the third area of wisdom that I want us to look at this morning is our relationship with women. Scary thought, you know? Proverbs tells us a lot about what we should be looking for and what we should be avoiding. Let's look at the avoiding part first, you know? Let's turn to Proverbs 5 and read verses 1 through 9. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. The chapter starts out by telling us to pay attention. Too often, we think, and that's pointing my fingers at me, think that the small thoughts we are thinking about or that R-rated movie we want to watch really won't hurt us. I'm reminded of the saying by pastor-teacher Rafa Zacharias, sin will take you farther than you want to go, it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. I don't know if any of you know about Pastor Zacharias, but he allowed his sin to take him too far. Do you think he wishes he would have paid more attention? Do you think he would have wanted to use more discretion in what he did? Proverbs is telling us to be careful. Many wise men have gone astray because they thought they could handle the small sin. Look at verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Sin always starts out easy, but soon its true nature shows. Let us continue reading. Verse 4. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Here we see the true cost of that small, tiny sin. Honey to wormwood, the smoothness of oil to the sharpness of a sword. Too many Christian men have lost a witness because of the look that became a thought and a thought that became an action. Guys, Proverbs does not only just tell us what to avoid, but it also tells us what to enjoy. The pleasure he has given us with the one he has given us. Proverbs 12:4 says, Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Still continuing back in Proverbs 5 to the verse 15 and 19. So first he told us in the beginning of Proverbs 5 what to avoid. And now he tells us 15 through 19 where we should be looking, what we should be going after. It says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your foundations be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your foundation be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. So again, Proverbs is very clear in telling us that women are there for us, the right one, the one of our youth. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. Guys, for those of us who have been given or have found a God-given wife, make sure we are using God's wisdom to keep them, lead them, and love them with all that God has given us. Okay. The fourth area of wisdom, keeping count of all these areas, guys, there's a lot in this book. The fourth area of wisdom I want to look at is one a lot of us men, again, finger pointing this way, have a hard time with. Choosing wise words and accepting correction. Turn with me to chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. How often have I been told it is not what I say, but the tone I use? Continue with verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Our words can build up or tear down. The words we use have far more power than we give them credit. So my question, guys, have you been using your words wisely? Are you careful with that tongue? There is so much in Proverbs about wise words and what we should be saying and what we should not be saying. And let's look at the harder part, at least for me, is the words of correction. Do any of you like to be corrected? It's a hard thing that I struggle with, you know? Verse 5 says, a fool despises his father's correction, but he who receives correction is prudent. How often, now that my father is gone, have I said, I wish I would have listened more? Have you said that to yourself now when you think back? Your father's gone, for those of us who have lost him. And we wonder why we didn't listen a little closer to what he had to say. You know, there are so many wise men in this world, older men, who've lost because we didn't listen to what they had to say. You know? Back to Proverbs 12, verse 1, it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. It's pretty clear. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. If you love to learn, you know, if you love reading, seeing what's there, you love knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. You know? So again, I guess my question myself is, how often have I taken a wise word or correction badly? Am I open to those who are around me that love me and need to correct me at times? And Solomon follows it right up in chapter 13 with verse 1 saying, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Guys, I think we all should be praying to open our hearts and minds to grace-given correction. And I just want to add one more proverb to this area, because I think it's an important area that men have a hard time with, is correction. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I was often told a wise person speaks only half of what he thinks. Guys, let's be known as men of wise words and men who are willing to accept correction. The fifth area I want to look at, guys, that we face regularly every day, and that many of us stumble with, just as we have in other areas, and that is either having too much or not enough of, and that is money. Proverbs has a lot to say about money, guys. I can't even get into it today and all the words that are in there. And it often contrasts, as we said earlier, the wise and the foolish. And we already seen that fearing the Lord is wise, and the foolish, on the other hand, is not to fear the Lord. Are we fearing the Lord with our finances? Are we being wise with what God has blessed us with? Let's start with Proverbs 10, 4 to 5. Lazy hands made for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crop in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. The first thing that we should see in the Bible, work is seen as a gift. God wants us to work. He wants us. He's given us that to be able to provide for ourselves and to others. I am often reminded now that I am retired that there is no retirement in the Bible. The word doesn't exist, you know? Now, this doesn't mean he doesn't want us to use and enjoy things that as we get older. But there's just no couch potato call in our lives in the Bible. There are lots of things as we get older that we can do and share and give to others. Just as we talked about earlier, you know, we can be the wise person or the mentor to someone else who's coming up the ladder. Those who refuse to work are acting in foolish ways. And the Bible says poverty often follows. But there's also other ways that we can be foolish in our financial areas of our life. Proverbs 14:24 says, "The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly." Foolish decisions or behaving in an ungodly way will lead to poverty. How many times have we seen that? Or how many times have we done that? You know? And that's why it's important for us to open up God's word, as we talked about earlier. It's an instruction manual for almost every part of our lives, guys. There's a whole bunch of financial decisions that would be made that we make on a regular basis that would be so much easier if we had God's word in our heart and our mind when we made those decisions. You know? Let's look at Proverbs 6, 1 to 2. It says, "My son, if you become surely for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth." Many of us have made foolish money choices by trying to be nice to family or friends. The commentary says putting up security for another is folly because we are making promises for the future which we do not control. Again, Proverbs says it right there in Proverbs 27:1. "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." The Bible is very clear about whether we should be signing papers for someone else's money, someone else's loan. Very clear. But yet so many of us have made the decision to go and help a friend or help a family member, only to be burnt later on when that problem becomes ours. You know? And Proverbs, again, is very clear. It tells us what we should do if we've done that. Verses 3 to 5. "So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber for your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird with the hand of the flower. The wealth of fools will not last." God's word has a lot to say about money. The problems, as we discussed earlier, that we have to deal with daily can be answered if we have God's word in our hearts and our minds. You know, when we're making those daily decisions that affect our lives and those around us, are we burying God's word deep in our hearts to make sure that we're making those wise decisions? And just in case, guys, you think that this is a prosperity gospel and I'm preaching to you about, you know, get all the money you can, and it's not. Proverbs very, very clear with that also. You know, Proverbs 11:4 says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs knows you can have all the money in the world, but when you close your eyes for that last time, if you don't know Jesus as our Savior, it's not going to matter. You can't be buried in that gold-covered casket. You know? Proverbs 11:18 says, a wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Proverbs is realistic about the fact that the wealth of people who are rich in this life will not last. But what does last? What is important? Knowing God. Knowing the Savior, who is eternity, not just this one that in this world for 70, 80, or 90 years. You know? As we read in the beginning, Proverbs is very clear about gold and silver. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, or to get insight rather than silver? And Proverbs 28:6 says, better the poor whose way of life is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. But the great thing about the Bible is, again, it's our instruction manual, guys. Jesus said when we seek first Him, when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will provide for us. He will take care of us. And I think the perfect answer to money is, again, Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. We have discussed many times that all belongs to God. And we are supposed to be wise stewards of what He has blessed us with. You know, are we being wise stewards, guys? Are we looking at what God intends to do with the resources that He's given us? The last wisdom I want to look at today, guys, is another one that we all struggle with. You notice every one of these is something that, you know, is a little tough, especially for us men. And this last one is friendship. You know, for us men, friendships often take a back seat. You know, we have more important things to take care of. We have our careers, our family, our hobbies. And yes, these are all good things. But Proverbs talks a lot about friendships. You know, the wisdom of Proverbs talks about the importance of friends. Proverbs 18:1 tells us the foolishness of not desiring friends. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. When we don't have others around us, people who we can go to in the time of need, we're isolating ourselves. And it's not wise judgment. Contrast that with Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. True friends are rare, very rare. So what does Proverbs say is a true friend? Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend is a friend in the good and the bad times. They laugh with you. Sometimes they even laugh at you. And they are with you no matter how hard the struggle. Again, a true friend will also correct you. It's why maybe some of us are so afraid of friends. Because as we talked earlier, we don't want that correction. But Proverbs 27:5-6 says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So that's my question to you guys. Do you have those kinds of friends around you? More important, or just as important, is are you that kind of a friend to another person? I do not believe we ever outgrow the need for loving, grace-filled instruction. And if I need to hear the hard stuff, I want to hear it from someone who I can call a friend. You know? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We have quoted that and used that many times. But you picture that iron worker, that blacksmith, taking that hammer and pounding on that sword or that knife. That's what it's talking about. As iron sharpens iron, it doesn't get sharp without a couple pounds. You know, if you don't have a friend that's going to be telling you, pounding those corrections into you sometimes that we all need, you know, we should want a friend who will be honest with us and who will help us become the best we can be. Do you have that kind of friend? Are you willing to be that kind of friend? Guys, Proverbs has a lot to say. And I hope I have teased you enough this morning to make you want to dig deeper into this great book of wisdom.